Welcome to the Union Tribune's Aztec Hoopla podcast. We're back for our second appearance of the week. Last week of the regular season, I'm the sports editor of the Union Tribune, Jay Posner, joined by our beat writer, Mark Ziegler. Mark, we were both there on Tuesday night. I finally made it out to a game. We were sitting right behind the Colorado State bench, and I think they thought a big upset was in the making, and I think a lot of people did. It was pretty nervous around Viejas Arena, especially in the middle of the second half. Aztecs fell behind by 7, felt like a couple calls weren't going their way, although not as many, there weren't as many bad calls as I think the fans and Aztecs thought there were, but definitely some missed calls. But the Aztecs struggled, but they, as this team has most of the year, did find a way to come back and win. So what were your impressions? I know it was you were on deadline the whole game, but as you look back on it, what were your and you were able to get your thoughts together, what were they?
Well, a couple of things. You know, you mentioned the officials. This was actually a pretty good officiating crew, pretty veteran crew. And fans were still all over them, probably a little bit residue from Saturday. And that was a very unevenly officiated game. But I think part of it, and as you mentioned, some of those calls, when you look back at the tape with the right calls, I think some of it was just frustration on the fans' part. And, you know, and on Brian Dutcher's part, I mean, he was up screaming, yelling more than he usually is at the officials, certainly trying to work a call. That's what he tries to do. But I think there's a little bit of frustration there. And I think that sort of pervades, you know, through the entire team. This was a little bit of a hangover effect from the loss. And, you know, when you look back, and we talked about it in the last podcast, when you look at what some of the other undefeated teams that their teams, that, you know, that were able to remain undefeated into December did after their first loss, it shows you that there is a hangover effect with college athletes, and they can't bounce back maybe as quickly as they want to, or maybe they try too hard to bounce back, but certainly they weren't the same team we saw in the first 26 games. You know, they won the game, and that's credit to their grit and some talent, you know, a guy like Malachi Flynn finally making shots. But this is a team that's, you know, kind of teetering a little bit, and the wheels haven't come off the wagon, but they're wobbling a little bit right now. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can recover from that, or that's just the way it's going to be the rest of the season.
Yeah, it was weird because people were excited. It was senior night. They had a nice little ceremony before the game, and then the Aztecs come out, and, you know, Nolan Narain, of all people, hits a three-pointer that goes around the rim, as I think Dutcher said yesterday, like, you know, 72 times or something before it went in. They jump out to an 11-2 lead, and everything looks great, and all of a sudden, I think Colorado State scored the next 14 points. And then they had to fight from that point on. The biggest issue, obviously, right now is on the offense. Last two games, they've been consistent, but in a bad way. 21 of 54 on field goals against UNLV, 19 of 54 against Colorado State, and only 19 of 60 on three-pointers. Seemed like, and look, I admit I haven't watched every second of every game this year. It seemed like they sort of fell in love with the three-pointer a little bit on Tuesday night. Was that more than usual? Looked like a lot of guys were trying to get that, you know, sort of Steph Curry dagger three, you know, that would sort of knock out the other team. Is that typical, or do you think they're sort of falling in love a little bit too much with the three-pointer?
I know. I think it's a good observation. I think they're pressing a little bit. And, you know, KJ Fagan said something really interesting, I thought, on the senior night press conference, talking about Saturday night and the loss. And he didn't come out completely and say, hey, we played hero ball. But he said, you know, we're all really good scorers. We're all really talented scorers. And that's true. I mean, that guy averaged 17.5 points in his last full season in Santa Clara. And obviously Malachi Flynn is a guy who can carry a team. And Yanni Wessels had big games. And Jordan Shackle starting to play very well and score. And Matt Mitchell, you know, is coming off, you know, 28-point game. And he's been rolling too. And they all kind of feel like, okay, we're behind. I think they pressed a little bit, and they just kind of take it upon themselves. All right, I'm going to make the play here. I can make a play. I'm going to lift my team. And it's not out of selfishness.
Right.
And that's a distinction that people need to make. This team is still not all of a sudden, you know, didn't all of a sudden become selfish overnight. But I think they pressed a little bit, and they're just trying a little bit too hard. And like you said, trying to hit that dagger three. And part of that's the home crowd. And that's maybe why they play better on the road is, you know, they know that if they make that three, the crowd's going to get into it, and they want the crowd into it. And, And I think they maybe try a little bit too hard. Now, the second thing that's going on, and it's a very subtle thing, and it's hard to know if you're not inside the other locker room and know exactly what the game plan is. But I think teams are just dropping off just the slightest bit, particularly on Tragen and Flynn. They're smaller guards, and they're just kind of like living with the contested shot. And that's a dangerous thing to do against Malachi Flynn, because if he gets going, you're not going to be able to stop him. But I think teams are almost, instead of getting up in them and trying to take away everything, they're just kind of picking their poison and saying, you know what, we'll live with a contested three, and if they're not scoring, we have a chance to beat them. And I think that's what's going on a little bit with teams and as they watch film. It's not anything technical like how they're playing a ball screen or how they're doubling the post. It's something as subtle as take a half step back and make them shoot over you. And I think that's part of the reason why they're getting sort of lured into these threes, particularly early in the shot clock.
Yeah, and there were times where they had bad shots because they ran the shot clock down, you know, too far and ended up forcing shots. But Flynn in particular, you mentioned once he gets going, it's big trouble for the opponent, that he finally got going in the last 8 minutes of the game the other night and made, I think, three or four big shots and was able to, I think Shackle had a big three as well. And it gets really loud in there. And so I can see what you're talking about in terms of trying to get the crowd into it. So they do go on. You mentioned maybe they play better on the road. Well, they'll get a good test on Saturday up in Reno. Nevada came here and actually had the lead at halftime a month or so ago when they were playing at Viejas. Nevada's 12-2 at home, and both the losses came against Pac-12 teams way back in November. So since then, they haven't lost at home. And that first game was a weird game because Nevada played pretty well in the first half. They had the lead against the Aztecs, and they came out in the second half, and the Aztecs just refused to give up any points. And I think Nevada had some open shots that they missed, but the Aztecs really cranked up the defense. Nevada opened that second half 3 out of 25. They finished the half 5 out of 34. I think Steve Alford even said, you know, you make five shots and a half, you're going to have a hard time winning. But I would expect they're not going to have a 5 for 34 half shooting at home. So what have you seen from Nevada over in that game? And then what kind of challenge do they pose on Saturday playing in Reno on, of course, what will be senior night?
When you look at this team and look at the way they played the last two games and you're just trying to figure out, I wrote a little bit about this today, it's really hard to pinpoint, particularly after just two games, exactly what's kind of gone south, particularly with the offense. But you can kind of have a process of elimination. And one of the issues, like we just talked about, is maybe they're just not as good at home. And there's been a lot of distractions at home. I mean, whether it's wearing red uniforms against San Jose State and Nevada, even,
right,
when the players clearly don't want to wear red uniforms, they're a little superstitious. There's been a long history of bad games in them. They got rid of them for that very reason. And now they're wearing them again. You know, there was the Kawhi Leonard game. And the issues when he came onto the floor against Utah State, or came and sat right on the floor, basically with his feet on the baseline. And there was, you know, the hanging the banner. I mean, there's just been a lot of sort of distractions, and I just think the energy is maybe too much energy, and they've been better on the road. So that's one of the things people maybe are thinking, well, maybe they're just playing at home with those distractions. They're not playing as well. We'll find out. Process of elimination. Now they're going on the road, tough environment. The last time they went on the road in a tough environment at Boise State, they absolutely blew them out of the building. I mean, it was maybe their best overall performance of the season. Took apart a very good team on a court where they traditionally don't play very well. And now it's sort of the same thing. I mean, they got blown out at Nevada last year, and so we'll get to see. Now, the big issue with Nevada is a flawed team. They don't have bigs. They don't have much of an inside presence at all, but they have a couple really good guards in Jazz Johnson and Jalen Harris. And particularly Jalen Harris has been tearing it up since the Aztecs last saw him. So in the first game, they put KJ Fagan on Jazz Johnson and just shut him down. And Fagan's a lockdown defender, particularly on a smaller guard. And this time they have to make a decision. Do they still want to do that, or do they want to maybe switch him and put him on Jalen Harris, who's a little bit bigger player, but just shut him down? Because Jalen Harris went crazy in the first half against the Aztecs in that game at Viejas Arena, and that's why Nevada did so well and had the lead. So it'll be interesting to see defensively what they do there and what they choose there. And I think that will kind of determine the game. I think inside, this is a great opportunity for Yanni Wessel to get going again, because they don't really have an answer for him defensively. He's had two kind of subpar games, and this might be a chance for him to get some confidence back, win or lose, but it'll give him a chance to get some good looks inside.
Right. One bad piece of news is Nevada's played pretty good defense, at least from a shooting percentage standpoint. Their opponents are shooting just 40% and only 29% on three. So that's, you know, a bit of a been a problem for the Aztecs the last two games, at least. And even in the first game, the Aztecs finished shooting in that game just 38%, which was, I believe it was their worst, second worst field goal percentage game of the Mountain West season until the game just a couple nights ago. So that could be a challenge as well. And you talk about playing better on the road. The rest of the season is on the road. Maybe not true road games, but definitely away from Viejas. They won't play there anymore this year. We should take a quick look ahead, as you did in your story today, on the conference tournament. It looks like the 8-9 game is going to be New Mexico and Air Force. The Aztecs will play the winner of that game a week from today, I guess, Thursday.
Yep.
Up in
11:30 a.m.
11:30 a.m. So plan your lunch breaks now for that game on Thursday. Either one of those teams, you would figure the Aztecs shouldn't struggle too much against. I mean, New Mexico's pretty much of a dumpster fire right now. Air Force shouldn't be good enough to hang with the Aztecs. The problem could be the next night, and I know this has been a sore spot for the Aztecs for as long as I can remember, certainly for as long as they've been a program, as Steve Fisher has said, but it's very likely at this point they're going to get UNLV in that second game on UNLV's home floor just a couple weeks after UNLV beat them. What do you think about that, and what would the Aztecs' attitude, and we'll talk more about this next week, but a brief thing, what do you think the Aztecs' attitude would be if they did get Vegas a week from Friday at the Thomas and Mack?
Well, from a coaching standpoint, I think Brian Dutcher will sort of carry the torch that Steve Fisher did and rail against the conference tournament being on someone else's home floor, particularly with the MGM's Grand Garden Arena now available since the Pac-12 moved across the street to T-Mobile, and that was always the big thing. Well, where would we play if we moved out of Thomas and Mack? And you know, it's a complicated issue, but I think my understanding is what basically it comes down to is the Mountain West is getting a lump of cash from the Convention and Visitors Bureau to play at Thomas and Mack because it's an arena not affiliated with any hotel in Las Vegas, and so therefore they can offer them money as opposed to if they go to MGM, that's the MGM property, and the teams that have stayed at MGM, it doesn't benefit all the hotels in the area in on the Strip and in and around Las Vegas. So that's kind of it's kind of a political issue, I believe, why it's still there. So I think Brian Dutcher would be so here's the reason why it shouldn't be here. I think the players would probably welcome it. You know, these guys have such a road warriors mentality; they want another shot at these guys. They just, if it's their only loss, if they go in and beat Nevada and then they get into the tournament, that's their only loss. They want to avenge it. Absolutely, they'll take the chance, even if it's on their home floor. They're confident. They've already won there once. They play great in Vegas. They have a long history. So I think it would be kind of mixed feelings if they got that game. But it's certainly looking that way. The way UNLV is playing and the way the seedings are starting to shake out with the tiebreakers, it looks like Nevada will be in that 4-5 game.
Yeah, or UNLV will be.
UNLV.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that could mess things up when we were looking at it last night was if Utah State somehow lost to New Mexico this week. I think otherwise, Utah State and Nevada, one of them's going to be 2, one's going to be 3. I think it probably depends on what happens with the Nevada SDSU game. But UNLV would be 4, Boise would be 5, and I guess that puts Colorado State at 6. Fresno at 7, and then, as we said, New Mexico and Air Force in whatever order at 8-9. It doesn't make any difference at that point. But we will come back next week, probably on Tuesday, and talk about what happened up in Reno and what lies ahead in Las Vegas. A big week in Nevada for you. Good thing there's no state income tax. They might start to. They might start trying to garner some of your salary for spending that much time in Vegas. But anyway, enjoy Reno, Mark, and thanks everyone for listening. And please join us again next week.